Welcome to today's Strategic Housing Podcast, where our goals are to connect people, share innovative ideas, and collaborate with partners on affordable housing opportunities and replicable models that strengthen our communities in Kentucky and across the nation. My name is Edwin King, and I'm the Executive Director of Kentucky Housing Corporation. Today's podcast features a very special guest, Jacob Tammy, who is a former American football tight end and advocate of homes for wounded U.S. veterans. He played college football at the University of Kentucky and was drafted by the Indianapolis Colts in the fourth round of the 2008 National Football League draft. Jacob also played for the Denver Broncos and Atlanta Falcons before announcing his retirement from the NFL in November of 2017. He is known for his contributions to the community, as he was named to the National Good Works Team by the American Football Coaches Association in 2006, the Southeastern Conference Community Service Team by the SEC Office, and to the Frank G. Ham Society of Character by UK Athletics. In 2017, he was named the SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year and elected to the first team academic All-America squad by the College Sports Information Directors of America. Together, Jacob and his wife, Allison, co-founded the Swings for Soldiers Classic in 2010, and each year, they are joined by friends, family, and many volunteers to help produce an amazing event that benefits a great organization, Homes for Our Troops. Currently, Jacob is a full-time cattle farmer and owner-operator of Tammy Valley Farm in Danville, Kentucky, where he and Allison are raising their three children. Jacob will be one of our keynote speakers during the 2018 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference, which we're calling The Power of Housing Is Now, on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 21st and 22nd in Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome to our podcast, Jacob.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. My pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for being a guest with me today and for sharing more information about the Swings for Soldiers charity and your personal story. So to begin, Jacob, Kentucky is a big sports state with a big love for their teams. How old were you when you first remember picking up a football?
Oh, man. I was pretty little. I'll tell you, you know, even more so back 20, 25 years ago when I was growing up, I think even more so than it is now. I mean, kids still love their sports and love their University of Kentucky sports in particular around here. But even more so way back then in the old days, I just loved Kentucky everything. And, you know, nowadays kids have so much access to so many different teams. And I mean, we've never had any professional teams here, you know, in the majors, or in the upper levels. Of course, we have some smaller professional teams now, but UK was just everything. And so, yeah, I grew up loving the Wildcats from the moment I could probably breathe. And in fact, my dad told me the story that the night I was born, Kentucky was playing in the NCAA basketball tournament, and like they were playing in Seattle or something, and the hours were weird. And, you know, I think I was almost born in the car on the way to the hospital because they were trying to watch the end of the game. So it runs deep. The bleeding blue runs very deep in our family.
I can imagine. So in that case, did you always want to play for the University of Kentucky then?
Yeah, you know, I did. I did from the time I was a little kid. I went out in the backyard, and when I was shooting basketball, it wasn't me out there. I was Jeff Shepard or Derek Anderson, Ron Mercer, and Scott Padgett, all those guys. And, you know, when I was throwing to my brother, you know, it was Tim Couch and Craig East and Pookie Jones from way back. You know, we've been Kentucky basketball and football and baseball fans for since I can remember. Some of my first memories are either watching or going to, you know, we never had season tickets or anything of that nature. So we'd get to go maybe to one or two football games a year and maybe get inside Rupp Arena once every couple of years, and just some tremendous memories of those days. And as a child growing up and those moments of being inside a Rupp Arena or being out there at Commonwealth Stadium and throwing the ball with dad before a game out on the lawn where there's some field now, you know, it's all grown and so very nice over there now, but it used to just be a bunch of grass over there by Commonwealth Stadium. And so we just a lot of great memories from that time. I knew from the time I was a little kid that I wanted to be a Wildcat. To fast forward the story to my senior year of high school, I almost didn't get to be a Wildcat because of some scholarship limitations that the team had at that time. They ended up having to pull my scholarship because too many other wide receivers had committed. I was a wide receiver at the time, and I was set to take my visits to other places and had some other offers I was gonna choose between. When Coach Guy Morris ended up going to Baylor for an opportunity there, and Coach Rich Brooks got hired here at Kentucky, and it kind of changed the whole dynamic because I felt like, you know, there was maybe an opportunity to reach out to the new coach and see if there was any possibility at all that it could be worked out. And sure enough, I ended up being Coach Brooks's first recruit and got to live out my dream of playing at Kentucky. And it ended up being just unbelievable.
Well, it's a very difficult feat to get to play at the University of Kentucky, even more so with the NFL. What was your favorite moment in the NFL?
Well, there's a long list, Edwin. Honestly, it's just such an incredible experience we had during our 9 years in the NFL. You know, if I had to pick one from a handful of great moments we had, I got to play in 3 Super Bowls. So we won't talk about the outcomes of all those games, but I did get to go be a part of 3 Super Bowls, and I'll tell you that feeling when you win an AFC or NFC championship. To get to go and just to know that you have given yourself a chance to go and compete in the big one, and also to take your family on that journey. I mean, my family and I, you know, I was raised very simple beginnings and just middle class America. And the idea that me and my wife and kids and my parents and my in-laws and closest friends would be packing up and going to be a part of 3 different Super Bowls is just mind-boggling. And that's the moment, you know, that comes to mind. When I was in Denver my second year there, we beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship to advance to the Super Bowl, and we played them at home, and such a neat experience to win a championship game like that at home in front of your own crowd. And my son was about 3 years old at the time. And he doesn't care what game it is. He doesn't know. He just wants to get on a field and play. If he can get on a field, he's fired up. So 3 years old, after that game, we got a chance to go out on the field, take some pictures as a family. And we had done that in our other experiences of going to Super Bowls. But this was cool with the age he was at. Well, he's like, Dad, let's just play. I want to play. So we stayed at Mile High Stadium with the lights on. I don't even know how long, but we shut it down. It was just an incredible moment. We had Mile High Stadium to ourselves, about 10 of us, you know, family, and playing with Luke out there on that field that day after winning the AFC Championship. I don't know that it could ever get any better than that.
Oh, and there's no doubt that will live in his memory for life.
Exactly. And we got some good pictures and videos, so it was all awesome.
That's great. Well, you talked a little bit about your simple beginnings. How was it like growing up in a small town like Danville, Kentucky?
Well, I'm so thankful for it. You know, everybody's different, and I love a big city for a certain amount of time. but I'm very thankful for the different places we've got to be, the different places we've got to live, work. I loved every, and people ask me all the time, which one was your favorite team, city? You know, we loved Indianapolis. We loved Denver. We loved Atlanta. We weren't really in Atlanta. We were basically in South Carolina, but I really, really loved Denver. And I'm getting back to Danville on this, but we loved living in Denver. We lived about 30 minutes south of the city, wonderful area, loved everything about Colorado. The weather was so underrated, you know, sunny all the time, very rarely too cold in the winter. And when it was 95 in the summer, it felt like 80. So we just loved Denver. But I say all that to get back to Danville. I am so thankful that I was born and raised here in Danville, and so thankful for it. Indeed, thankful enough that my wife and I chose to come back here and buy some of the family farm and raise our kids here. If we weren't so rooted here and we didn't love Kentucky so much and we didn't love Danville so much, I'd live in Denver in a heartbeat. But we do love it here. And I'm so thankful that I was raised in this environment, you know, around these sorts of people. I mean, Danville's got a little bit of everything. You've got just a good mix of America, and it's in a small town feel. And we love that. And to be able to come back and buy part of our family farm, my family's been farming here since They came to Boyle County in 1910, and the piece of land that we built our house on has been in my family since 1910. So I feel very honored and humbled to kind of be able to be here and carry on that tradition.
Well, Jacob, I grew up in a farm family, so I kind of know what it's like. But were you always a farmer at heart?
Yeah, you know, I think that I have had farming in my blood forever. It's a little bit like being a Wildcat fan. It's just kind of in there, you know. The Wildcat piece comes out sooner in life because when you're a kid, you really hate the farm. Hey, go do this, go do that. It's 90 degrees. Back then, they didn't know that water was important for the human body. So we never really, you know, I mean, we had some summer days where looking back, I'm not sure the hydration level was really appropriate. But it did teach you what hard work was. And I'm thankful for growing up getting to, and I didn't even live on the farm as a kid. I worked on the farm in the summers. Of course, we were always busy with sports in the spring and fall. My summers on the farm, helping my granddad, you know, were very, I think, instrumental into me growing up, because it's good for kids to have hard days sometimes. I got to do that on the farm. And of course, that makes you kind of go, well, gosh, I'm thankful I'm not out on the farm every day. But then you get older and you go, I kind of think the farm might be a good idea. So it's always been in my blood, I think. And I know that I love researching family history. And my fifth great grandfather came over in the mid 1800s. Joseph Tammy was his name. And on the ship's record, on the ship from Austria, is listed his occupation as farmer. And so my family's been farming cattle ever since. So yeah, I think that from a young age, I knew that I wanted to do something in this realm for sure. What now, if I exactly what we're doing now, I would say no, because I've done a lifetime worth of learning on this registered Angus cattle business in 2 years, and learned something new every day. So we're kind of carrying on, I think, the legacy of my forefathers, but also doing it in a way that's new and progressive and can carry forward into the future.
Great. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the things that you're probably going to be speaking about at our annual housing conference in August. What is the reason behind the Swings for Soldiers Classic?
Yeah, well, the reason behind it is my wife and I both have a heart for our veterans, and we have always had a heart to help those who have served our country. You know, I've always believed that men and women who put on the uniform every day in the service of defending our country. And when they do that, and certainly when they get injured or experience trauma on our behalf during that service, I think we should take care of them. And of course, there's a myriad of ways that we do that. And there's a lot of different groups, and there's a lot of ways that people seek to do that. One thing that we thought was very neat was the idea that ever since the beginning of our country, having a place that you can call home, and in particular, home ownership is something that's been important to our country from the beginning. And I think even more than that, just having a space and a place to call home, and something, some place where you can be independent, and you for these veterans that are almost all double amputees or worse, that they can operate in and regain their independence inside the home. It does so many things, as you can imagine. So that's where it began. That's where Swings for Soldiers began. We wanted to do something to make a difference in the lives of these veterans. And so we researched a lot of different military charities, considered starting our own foundation, considered a lot of different things, and ended up really falling in love with the mission of Homes for Our Troops. And they're a nationally highly acclaimed 501c3 out of up near Boston. They weren't really on the map, you know, nationally as far as a big named military charity when you thought of all of those. And it was our goal to kind of help them get that way. So we started the Swings for Soldiers Classic in order to raise funds to build a house. And each year we raise the funds to build a new house. And we invite that family to come to the event, and they always do. And each year it grows, and all the families from before come. So this is our ninth year, and it's just been such an incredible journey, not only of building these nine houses and seeing the difference it's made for those veterans regaining their independence inside the home, leading to them rebuilding their confidence outside the home. But it's been a great awareness mechanism for Homes for Our Troops. And that the group has just grown and grown and grown over the past 5, 6, 7 years. And our event has continued to grow and grow as well. Last year, we were the largest fundraiser in the country for Homes for Our Troops. And so that was a real neat milestone to be their number one fundraiser in the entire country. And it's a testament to the group of people helping us with the event, which is almost all family volunteers. Our event coordinator, Amanda Zachary, and the people that have come back and donated and come and played golf every year because they know the cause that we're supporting. They love seeing the veterans and meeting them. And it's just opened up so many different doors for not only the veterans and their families, but just it's been the most rewarding experience that Allison and I could have ever imagined or dreamt of. And I could talk about it all day, but it's just been fantastic. And that's a little bit of there about how it started.
When thinking about the Swings for Soldiers Classic and the Homes for Our Troops, is there one recipient or story that stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, I haven't shared this story a lot. I've shared it more recently because it was such a personal moment to me that I didn't really share it for a while other than with obviously my wife who was there when this happened. But it's so neat, and it's a testament to the power of what the right timed word can do in someone's life. And that first year that we did the event, like I said, we basically called Homes for Our Troops and had discussions with them, just told them, hey, I told them who I was an NFL football player and I wanted to do this. So of course they were pretty pleased and happy to help how they could, but the actual running of the event, the raising of the money, the finding the donors, the everything from every phone call to literally the day before the event, making the file on the computer with all the logos on it of the different companies and printing off the cart signs was done by me and my wife. And we printed those signs off, we spent our whole summer on this event. And it was great, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything. But when we had the event, one home had been built in Kentucky, and that was it. Gentleman's name is Chase Matthews, who's since become a great friend of ours. Chase and his wife Jennifer, their daughter Sarah, she was real young at the time when this first year, and they came, and we had not met them yet, but they came to the event. Chase was going to go around with me, and he was gracious enough to shake hands with some folks. And Chase is a double amputee. And I had him on the golf cart all day, kind of riding around. I was very conscious of trying to make sure he had a good time. You always kind of walk that fine line because no veterans want pity, but they will accept appreciation if it's heartfelt. And we had a lot of people who really wanted to show their appreciation, so I was trying to let them do that. And Chase, eventually, by the end of the day, kind of opened up and started making fun of the way I was driving the golf cart. So I took that as a good sign. And We had a good day, and we had two different shotguns, so it went from 6-something in the morning until it was probably midnight when we were leaving finally, and all the volunteers had left. Everybody had left the golf course. We had had a big dinner and auction and big event. I had a general idea of how much money we'd raise, and I thought, you know what, that was great. That was really great. Now we're going to be able to go help build the next house, and we're leaving, and I'm telling you, no one's there. It's just me and Allison. And it's Chase and Jennifer. And Chase has been, like I said, with me in the golf cart all day. And other than that, he was in his wheelchair. And so he's in his wheelchair now. And we're going back out to the parking lot. And we're going to our car. They're going to theirs. We're walking together right now. And I'm thinking in my head, this was wonderful, but I don't think we can ever do it again. It took the whole summer. It was physically exhausting to get it done. And I did not know if I had it in me to make it happen and continue. I thought it might be one thing that was great and we might not be able to do it again. And as I'm thinking that in my head, Chase looked up at me from the wheelchair and said, "Hey man, that was a lot of fun. Next year, I'm going to play golf."
Wow.
And we've had it 9 years since. So that story really sticks out to me. And Chase has played every year since. Using his prosthetics. So it it's been an unbelievable journey. And, you know, when he said that to me, it just stunned me. We got in the car and I looked at Allison and I said, we're having it next year. and it's never stopped. So.
What a remarkable story. How much have you been able to raise for homes for our troops?
Well, just this past year, I believe we're right up. We're at right up against $850,000. So,
wow.
We're hoping there's a possibility we get over a million this year. Originally, the goal was to get to a million by year 10, but we may get to a million by year 9. So it's, like I said, it's just been an incredible, incredible journey. And so that's $850,000 that of real cash that goes to them. And then I'll say that's another thing. We don't even take a check. You know, it all goes straight to Homes for Our Troops. And that's another reason we loved Homes for Our Troops is they're just so efficiently run. They're very highly rated and ranked by all the various Charity Navigator and all the various different charity groups that evaluate the field there on all of those. But it's just very efficiently run. And when people donate to us, they know the money is going to building the house.
Well, Jacob, thank you again for your time with us today and for sharing about the mission of these charities, Homes for Our Troops and Swings for Soldiers charities, and the positive impacts made on our soldiers. We'll look forward to learning more from you during the upcoming housing conference. To our audience, visit the website for Swings for Soldiers again at swingsforsoldiers.org. And please join us for our 2018 Kentucky Affordable Housing Conference on Tuesday and Wednesday, August 21st and 22nd at the Lexington Convention Center in Lexington, Kentucky. The theme again is The Power of Housing is Now. This year's housing conference includes three terrific keynote speakers, Jacob Tammy, who joined us today, and we'll also hear from Kara Brookins, author of Rise, How a House Built a Family, and Sam Glenn, an author and motivational speaker on attitude and other relevant topics in a changing world. We will also have very informative sessions and plenty of networking time. Visit Kentucky Housing Corporation's website for more conference information and to register at kyhousing.org. Thank you again for connecting with us today and listening to this podcast. You're welcome to join the conversation by leaving comments, and please share today's podcast in your social media streams to help us broaden our conversation. Follow us on social media. Until next time, thank you.